Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Riley Sager, who burst onto the literary scene a few years ago with the international bestseller Final Girls, two more New York Times bestsellers, Lock Every Door and The First Time I Lied followed, and he's now out with his latest offering, Home Before Dark, where we meet Maggie Holt, who inherits a house from her father known as Bainbury Hall, and Riley Sager joins me now. Riley, what's so unique about Bainbury Hall and Maggie's family's experience there when she was a young girl?
Because Maggie and her family sort of lived through an Amityville horror type situation where they moved into Bainbury Hall, which is very old, very creepy, and they moved out 20 days later in the middle of the night claiming that the house was haunted and that they were too scared to stay there a minute longer. Maggie's father wrote a book about it that became this massive bestseller. And so 25 years later, she inherits the house and returns and starts to experience similar things that her father recounted in his book. And so it's a book within a book. So there's Maggie's return to the house, and then there's also the book that her father wrote. And so, like, it alternates between the past and the present.
Well, and her not necessarily criticism, but her questioning of her father's book, that sort of tracks along the Amityville Horror, because I read that book when I was in junior high, as so many people did back when we were younger, and you know, I took it for gospel at the time, and there's been a lot of criticism. So when you have these types of books come out, and Maggie does this, and what's that make you think about as an author to see somebody's book, not only in your work, but like the Amityville Horror, questioned as to the true origins behind it?
Well, it actually, the book was inspired by listening to a podcast about the Amityville Horror and discussing this exact question. Like, this can't be real, right? This isn't real. Everyone kind of agrees that it's not real. Yet the Lutz family, the parents, until the day they died, swore that it was the truth. And it was a really interesting question to me. Like, why would they lie about this? And what were the reasons behind it? And I thought that would be interesting to explore in a book through the daughter of similar characters.
You know, haunted houses are a staple of the horror genre, but Home Before Dark is different because it takes us to a time after the horror, basically. So why'd you decide to turn this particular trope onto its head with the twist of making the historical perspective?
I think it's really fun to take things that have been done to death, no pun intended, and put a new spin on them. And so the haunted house, as an author, I think every author who writes scary books at some point in their life just figures it's time to write a haunted house book. But I didn't want to do the standard stereotypical haunted house book. I wanted to sort of flip it and see how it worked. And so it's kind of a haunted house story, but it's also deconstructing the haunted house story.
Did you start with a haunted house story and decide it wasn't working? So when do you make that decision?
From the very beginning, I wanted to do a haunted house story, but at the same time, peek behind the curtain, so to speak, and look at the truth of the haunted house story. And so my intention all along was to show the scary story and then show the reality behind the scary story. And in some cases, the reality is more frightening than the scary story.
Is the horror genre one that's difficult to imagine as far as creativity goes, in as much as there's been so much of it done already? It's kind of like police procedurals. You run the risk of a lot of them sounding the same. So how do you make them unique? You did it with this book, but what's that like just for the creative process this is a great idea, but yeah, that's been done?
For me, it's a matter of taking all the things you expect from something. Like Final Girls was about, taking on the slasher movie, and Lock Every Door was like taking on Rosemary's Baby, and this was definitely the haunted house story. And for me, it's trying to find all the things that people expect to see in such a story and give it to them and then surprise them with something new and something different. So it's a lot of fun to when I'm writing a book, think of readers' expectations and sort of lead them along where it's like, you know, you think where this is going, and then pull the rug out from under them. That's very enjoyable for me.
And then does it save time as a writer as far as, or at least save words trying to explain something? Because we all know what's meant by haunted house. We all know what's meant by slasher movies, those types of things. We know what to expect. So we have this conjured up in our mind, and it doesn't take you a long time to have to explain certain things in this genre, right?
Oh, absolutely. Right. It just, horror movies kind of come with their own little shorthand that everyone who's seen one knows. And it's very convenient where I don't need to waste time explaining, oh, this is what a haunted house is. Everyone knows. When you hear the words haunted house, you have this set of expectations in your mind. And so it's very easy to just move on and get to the action.
Do you scare yourself when you write?
I do sometimes, yes. That's when I know it's working. If I'm sitting there at night at my laptop and I like start getting this chill down my spine, I'm like, okay, I think this is good. This is working.
Have you had the experience where your cell phone vibrates or the phone rings and you jump?
Oh, yeah, or you hear something like the wind blows and like a tree like rattles the window pane. You're like, what was that? Yeah, that happened a lot during the writing of this book.
I'm talking with Riley Sager about his brand new book, Home Before Dark. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Riley, the whole idea of family secrets is very popular in literature, and Maggie's family certainly had their share of them. Every family possesses its secrets, and yet we always seem surprised when secrets are revealed to exist. Why do you think that is?
I think we like to consider our families more normal than other families, and we like to think, oh, these things don't happen to us, but I think every family has its secrets. Everyone has their secrets. And, you know, it's very interesting to explore in fiction, like, how these secrets of the past do affect your present. And part of Maggie's story is figuring out what these secrets are, and then when she learns them, you know, how do I move forward with this?
You've had a heck of a run in the horror genre, and I know you didn't start writing that. I mean, you were a news writer before this, but a journalist. But you also tried writing some thrillers and mysteries, and it just didn't work out for you. So where does that put you just in a mindset to keep plugging away, and it seems like you've finally found your groove now?
It was very interesting. Nothing sort of spurs me on more than failure. And so when I wrote Final Girls, the whole time I was writing it, I just had this, I'm going to show them, I'm going to prove them that I can do this, I can do this. And I think it really shows on the page, and a lot of people responded to that book. And so it's all a matter of me really always trying to prove myself with every book.
Do you think back to your journalistic days and realize that, you know, there were certain things, how much you didn't know at the time, even though you thought you knew about writing?
Oh, gosh, yeah, tons. But journalism was also a very good background. I learned how to be edited. I learned how to write on deadline. In newspapers, you can't waste words, so you need to be very clear and very succinct and get your message across. And I take all those lessons with me now as I write novels.
When that first book exploded for you, and you know, it's international bestseller, but translated all over the place, when that happens, how does your life change, or does it?
It didn't at first. It was a very surreal experience because since the book was written under a pen name, my publisher decided, you know, we're going to have a little bit of secrecy about who you are. And so you're not going to go on a book tour. You're not going to do any events. So I really sort of stayed home during the summer that book came out and watched from afar as all these weird, amazing things were happening with this book. And it just, I could sense that, yes, my life was changing, but at that time, my life had not changed yet. I was, you know, still in the same apartment, you know, still the same old me, and it just was very weird to know that my life was changing yet not quite feel it yet.
So how tight was the circle of people who actually knew that Riley Sager was you?
Oh, it wasn't that much of a secret. Like, friends of mine, even though I didn't tell them, knew because of things that Riley Sager posted on Twitter or things like that. So it was very of fun to post on Facebook to, like, my friends, like, hey, I wrote this book. And quite a few of them knew about it and had already ordered it and were shocked that it was me.
Denny, I'm thinking you're full of BS.
They're like, wait, that's really you? You wrote this? Yeah.
Well, how do you go about proving that to them if they don't believe you?
I think they, you know, they came around when, you know, I kept posting about it and it's not really much of a secret. Like, you can Google Riley Sager, and I think my real name just pops up immediately. So
right, I was thinking about this as your books are translated into different languages. How well does the story translate? And maybe if you don't speak the language it's been translated into, you wouldn't know. But how close can the translation get so that you don't lose any of the meaning as you go from language to language?
I honestly do not know. It's very interesting because these books have been published in just literally around the world, and I can't imagine, like, them keeping some of the things in these books in a place like Taiwan or or Russia. Or so I really don't know, and I would love to. I get copies. I get all the copies in these languages that I do not speak or read, and I'm very curious to see if there is much of a difference between the English version text and what ultimately is published in those other countries.
Is there a place where it's sold well internationally that just shocks you that anybody cares about horror?
No, because I think it's a universal sort of language. Everyone is afraid of something. And, you know, internationally, there are countries that do a bang-up job on their own in the horror genre. South Korea is one of them. Japan is another. So I think scary things are universal.
Were you a reader exclusively of horror, or were you even into it before you started writing it?
No, I read everything, pretty much. Like, I came from a household of big readers, and as a kid, I was reading constantly, and I didn't discriminate. So I would read Judy Blume, and then I would read Agatha Christie, and then I'd read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And eventually I made my way to, you know, Stephen King and Dean Koontz. And so I read whatever.
And then during the pandemic here, it's got to almost seem like that first book tour that didn't exist, although you're doing some events. But how's this different for you when you're not able to go out and promote these events, talk to readers face-to-face?
It's interesting. I was very looking forward to my book tour. I was looking forward to a week of travel and meeting people, and then obviously that's not happening. But the publishing industry has been very good about quickly finding alternatives. And so while I won't be meeting people face-to-face, I am doing a lot of interviews and a lot of virtual tours arranged through bookstores and libraries. And the irony is that I will probably be reaching more people through these virtual tours than if I'd gone in person.
That's a very good point. I hadn't thought about it that way. All right, the book is Home Before Dark. It's the latest one from Riley Sager. The book's available wherever your fine books are sold. Go out and pick up a copy, order it, have it shipped to you, however you do it. Riley, just fantastic to talk to you. It's the first time we've had you on the show, and it's good to talk to you.
Great talking to you. Thanks very much.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.